We're going to commence by taking a look at hymn number 265, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Keeping our seats as we lift our hearts to the Lord in the attitude of this hymn. Come to our time of prayer, let us just remember the Buchanan family. At this stage, we heard that Mark's uncle passed away this afternoon, and so we want to remember the Buchanan family as we come to the throne of grace in prayer. Let us all pray. Eternal, most gracious, and heavenly Father, we do approach thee in and through the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly we can say, those of us that know and love thee, that he took my sins and my sorrows, and praise God, he made them his very own. And then he bore the burden to Calvary, and Christ suffered, and Christ died alone. And Lord, we do thank Thee for becoming the offering for man's sin, and for making recompense to redeem us, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for placing Thy love upon us, for calling us by our names, for revealing the Lord Jesus Christ to wanton sinners such as we. We think of that time when first we came into contact with gospel truth, when first we heard that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We thank Thee for how the Spirit of God began to move upon our hearts and souls and lives, and that Thou didst bring us to newness of life in Christ. How we praise Thee and bless Thee that Thou didst stoop so low to lift so little. And yet, Lord, we rejoiced in the God of our salvation when we realized that our names had been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the beginning of time. And so, Lord, we just acknowledge Thy great goodness to us this evening. But Lord, we do pray for those unable to pray for themselves, those who are, as we once were, outside of Christ, without God, and without hope in this world. And we pray that as our brother Lyle comes in a short while and shares with us how the Lord moved in his life and redeemed him by his precious blood, we pray that the Spirit of God may brood over this gathering, that Thou wilt cause a crisis in the thinking of the ungodly, and that Thou would save precious souls. Oh, how we long that the cry will go up from Hebron this evening, says, what must I do to be saved? We do pray for the Buchanan family. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt draw graciously near, even this evening, and give them the oil of joy for mourning, and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We just commit and commend them, each one, to Thy care and to Thy keeping. We do pray again, Lord, for Dr. and Mrs. Cairns, that Thou wilt draw graciously near unto them, and grant that they might know that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with our brother Raymond. Keep Thy hand upon him for good, and grant that he might prove God even in his current crisis. We just ask of Thee that Thou wilt bless. And so, Lord, as we come to the gospel in a short while, we pray that Thou wilt give us a sense of Thy presence. Come amongst us and move from seat to seat, from heart to heart, and grant that when we go away from this place, we might do so knowing that God was here and that to bless. Be with our pastor in the harvest in Tandragee. Grant that he may have the joy of reaping where another hath so faithfully sown. And so, Lord, we look to Thee this night, that Thou wilt bless the visible church, and grant that Thou wilt write new names in the Lamb's Book of Life. For we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. Amen. Well, can we bid you one and all a warm and friendly word of welcome to our gospel service here in Hebron this evening. A special word of welcome if you're visiting with us for the first time, or if you're tuned in on Sermon Audio or Facebook. We're delighted to have with us as our guest preacher for our Bible conference, Pastor Dennis Lyle and his dear wife. We love our brother in the Lord. We have sat under the sound of his ministry. I was telling him before the meeting that for the last 3 months he's traveled with me to work each morning, I'm back home again in the evening as I've listened to sermon audio. You know, my daughter this morning, she turned round and knocked me when our brother came into the church, and she said, "Dad, this must be like Christmas coming early for you, because Pastor Lyle was here." Well, we bid you welcome, brother, and we trust that God will richly bless you this evening. Our annual Bible conference commenced this morning. It continues, obviously, tomorrow and through until Friday. 8 p.m. Are the services each evening. We're dealing with the problems on the pathway of life. And again, we would encourage you, one and all, to remember our brother at the throne of grace in prayer, praying that the Lord might move in your heart and in mine, and that we might see signs following the preaching of his word even this week. On the screen are the subjects for each evening, and please plan to be here and remember our brother before the Lord. Next Lord's Day, we commence with our early time of prayer. We had a tremendous time this morning at 8 a.m. Our brother Lyle was with us on that occasion. And again, if it's not your custom to join us on the Lord's Day, then why not make the effort next Lord's Day and come along and let's start the day with God at the throne of grace in prayer. Our Sabbath school commences at 10:45, and also our Bible class as well. Please pray for the services next Lord's Day. In the will of the Lord, they'll be conducted by our pastor, the Reverend Park, for the noonday and for the gospel service. Please remember our brother also as he takes the Orange Independence service at 3:30. Pray that God might move in that meeting, even to the salvation of precious souls. We want to thank you for your tithes and offerings, for all the funds that are brought in, for the building fund, Let the Bible Speak, the missionary covenant support, the school covenants. There are collection plates at the door. We don't take up an offering at the moment, but there are collection plates if you want to contribute to the work of God in this place. There are Let the Bible Speak calendars at the rear of the church that are now available. The price is £3.50, and please see our church treasurer if you want to avail of one of them. Reverend Park mentioned this morning the appeal that has been launched by our missionary council. It's for a 4x4 vehicle in order to aid and assist the work in Nepal. The Reverend Paul Thapper is in need of a vehicle of some sort, and so the project for this year is seeing if we can raise the profile on the work in Nepal and get this a vehicle for the furtherance of the gospel. Please remember the work of God here in Hebron before the throne of grace. God will intervene in our nation and land that he might keep us free from this virus, that the ministry here in Hebron might be furthered, that the gospel opportunities for conversions and the door of opportunity might be opened up before us. Please remember to pray for the children's work, for the youth work, for the seniors of our church, also for the frontline services. The Reverend Park mentioned this morning how important it is for us to pray that the hand of God might be upon those who are in the forefront of the battle at the moment against this awful virus. Let's never forget the missionary outreach work of our denomination. Please remember the sick and the needy. Of course, we have this list that we place before you on a weekly basis. Of course, there are a few additions. Dr. and Mrs. Cairns have been added to that list also. And Raymond Stevenson, who's with us this evening, has also been added to that list. Remember Desi Moore at the bottom there? He has his operation on the 27th of this month. They're all the necessary announcements. We're now going to seek the Lord as we lift our hearts with this next hymn, "In Evil Long I Took Delight, Unawed by Shame or Fear, Till a New Object Met My Sight and Stopped My Wild Career. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Saviour died for me. My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. We'll keep our seats as we sing. It is a great thrill and pleasure for us to invite again to our pulpit this evening Pastor Dennis Lyle. We enjoyed his ministry this morning as we considered that great thought, is anything too hard for the Lord? And he's going to share with us this evening how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Savior became real to him, how he was born of God's Spirit and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. We bid you welcome, Lord. We bid you welcome, Dennis, in the Lord's great name. And we trust that God will bless you now as you come and labor in the word.
Thank you. If you have a copy of the Word of God with you tonight, we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Please, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And we're reading at the verse 23. And I want to thank the Reverend Park and the eldership of the church here for inviting me to this Bible conference. As we said this morning, it was due in the spring and then it was cancelled. And now it has come to pass. And I do want to thank the leadership of the church for inviting me here and for this opportunity of bringing the word of the Lord. I did say this morning that our brother Wesley will have some of our books on sale throughout the week during my last days in Lurgan, the last few years at the Bible class. We have a prayer meeting and a Bible class, and at the Bible class on Tuesday night, we did a series, A Journey Through the Bible, and usually when I was doing a series, I always called upon my good friend Stanley Barnes, because the Reverend Barnes is one of the greatest libraries in the country, and I began this little series, A Journey Through the Bible, trying to take a chapter of the Bible per Tuesday night. Some people said to me at the door, why don't you take three or four nights on one book? That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was just to give a bird's eye view of each book per night, and I had up to an hour or more than an hour to do that. When I took that series on, I thought that I had made a mistake, and I thought that I would never get through it. But by the help of the Lord, after 2 to 3 years, we finished that series as I concluded my ministry in Lurgan. And now that little series has been published by John Ritchie in Scotland. It has been edited. The sermons have been taken, and they're readable. And it's produced in 4 volumes, A Journey Through the Bible. In fact, as I look at it, I can see that the Reverend Barnes has given me a commendation at the back. So it's good to have a book that's been commended by Baptist pastors, also by brethren evangelists and by Free Presbyterian ministers. So we're selling those 4 volumes, at least Wesley is. I'm not bringing the books at all, but Wesley and Macaulay will be selling those books at the door. And usually those 4 volumes, the volume is usually priced at £10.99, £11, so 4 would cost you £40 to £44. But this week especially, at the door, Monday through Friday, or also in the shop, they're selling these 4 volumes for £30. Now, I can tell you, he ain't making much money on that, if anything at all. In fact, if you divide 30 by 4, that's £7.50. Now, in Moira, where I live, a fish supper would cost you £7.50. So it's not too much, so do please keep that in mind. Our subject for the week is problems on the pathway of life. This morning we looked at the God over all our problems. Tonight I'm going to share my own life story with you, my own personal problem. Tomorrow night, the problem of suffering, Job. Tuesday night, the problem of depression, Elijah. Wednesday night, the problem of encouragement, Barnabas. Thursday night, the problem of pessimism, Caleb. And then finishing on Friday night with Esther, the problem of commitment. Trust that we'll not keep you long too long each night, and that you'll get out in time. I heard the story of a pastor or a minister who started his church on one occasion. And you know what it's like when a new minister or pastor comes the first Sunday. Everybody's out to hear them, and they were all out to hear the new man. And he got up that Sunday morning, and he preached for 20 minutes, and that surprised a lot of people. The next Sunday he was there, he preached for about an hour. And the third Sunday he was there, he preached for about an hour and a half. And that raised a few eyebrows. And you know, you've always got characters in every church. And old John sat in the back seat, and he went to the new man and he said, "Sir, we're glad that you've responded to our call, that you're now our new pastor. But tell me, the first Sunday you were here, you preached for 20 minutes. The second Sunday for an hour, and the third Sunday you preached for between an hour and 2 hours." "Well," said the pastor, he said, "you know, the first Sunday I came along, I had a new set of false teeth in my gums, and they were giving me a lot of trouble." He said, by the time the second Sunday came around, they were well settled into my gums, and I got going for an hour." The old boy said, "It's the third Sunday. You preach for about an hour and a half." He said, "I made a mistake that morning. I put the wife's teeth in." Well, I trust that we'll be able to keep you out in good time and out in good time through the week. Do join with us and we trust that we'll be encouraged as we gather around the word of the Lord. We're looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and we're at verse 33, please. Luke's Gospel 23 and the verse 33. Let's just bow for a moment in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee afresh tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We feel, Lord, like Boaz this evening when she said to Ruth, she said to Boaz, "Why have I found grace in Thy sight?" Lord, we marvel at Your grace tonight. We thank You, Lord, that You've lifted us from that horrible pit and that miry clay, that You put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And our Father, what You've done in our life, we long that You might do in someone's heart and life tonight, that You'll do a work of grace within their heart. And Father, that You would draw them to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Father, we pray that as we come to Thy word just now, that we might know the enabling power of the Spirit of God. We pray that the Lord Jesus would be uplifted as the only Savior of sinners, and that there might be that drawing power in our gathering this evening. We ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, to write at Him, saying, 'He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, 'If Thou be the King of the Jews, save Thyself.' And the superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, 'If Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked Him, saying, 'Dost not Thou fear God, seeing Thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And He said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto Him, 'Verily I say unto Thee, today shalt Thou be with Me in paradise.' And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, 'Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit.' And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." May the Lord bless to our hearts the public reading of His own inspired and inerrant truth. If I were to ask you tonight, why did the Lord Jesus die? I wonder how you would respond. From every human point of view, the death of the Lord Jesus was a triumph of inhumanity and injustice, and yet He died willingly. He could have called 10,000 angels to rescue Him, but He refused. Instead, He surrendered Himself to the wicked hands of men, and He died on Calvary's cross. But why? People die for a variety of reasons. Old age, cancer, heart disease, kidney problems, accident, suicide, coronavirus. Some are even martyred for their faith in the Lord Jesus. But why did the Lord Jesus die? There are at least three answers to that question. Firstly, Christ died that we might live through Him. Christ died that we might live through Him. John says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Christ died that we might live through Him. That's salvation. My friends, the Word of God describes us as being dead spiritually. We're on the mortuary slab. That's why the Lord Jesus says, ye must be born again. This was exactly my condition before the Lord. I was lost. I was sinful. I was corrupt. I was depraved. I was dead. I was not alive to the things of God. I was on the broad road that leads to the very pit of hell itself. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. As I look back on my life tonight, I recognize a number of things. First of all, there was instruction through the Word. Instruction through the Word. I was instructed in the Word of God privately. You remember what Paul says to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That was my privilege also. My name is Dennis Lyle, and I was born in the town of Banbridge in the county of Down. You ever wonder why your parents give you the name that you have? Mine must have been reading the Christmas edition of Dennis the Menace. I heard the story of a young man on the Shankill Road, and he wasn't too happy about his name. His name was Billy Stinks. And one day he went down to the city hall, and he went to see the registrar, the person who can change your name. And he said to the registrar, he said, "Madam, is it possible to change your name?" She looked at him and she said, "Why, yes." She said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Billy Stinks." She said, "I see your point." She said to him, "What would you like to be called?" He said, "Oh, I'd like to be called Jimmy Stinks." You ever wonder why your parents give you the name that you have? Well, like many of you, I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. My grandmother I never met. People used to stop me on Main Street in Banbridge and tell me of the meetings she used to hold in her house, when she would open up her house and invite men and women in under the sound of the gospel, and she would get a gospel preacher, and they would preach to the gathered people in the house. My father often spoke about her godliness and her prayerfulness. And when I think about my dad, I think from earliest age, I remember a man who honored the Son of God and obeyed the Word of God and sought the face of God and was involved in the work of God and was an encouragement to the people of God and had a burden for those without God. Sometimes I meet folk in Banbridge Town and they say, "You're the image of your dad," and looks perhaps in godliness, there's a long way to go. But this was the environment in which I was brought up. From earliest days, I heard the old story of Jesus and his love. Great to see so many young folk tonight and children with us. Young folk tonight, don't take your Christian heritage for granted. Don't take your gospel privileges for granted. I was instructed in the Word of God privately. I was instructed in the Word of God publicly. The little building that used to stand on the Newry Road in Banbridge and is now demolished was the birthplace of many precious souls. And from that pulpit, through the ministry of faithful pastors, I heard the Word of God faithfully preached. I was left in no doubt as to my ruin in Adam and God's remedy in Jesus Christ. I remember an old Sunday school teacher. His name was Bob French, and I gave him a hard time in Sunday school. And I can see this old saint yet coming down from Lennon Hall Street with his overcoat on and a packet of mints in his pocket and a pair of those big boots that nearly go up to your ankles. And through that dear man of God, I heard about a Savior's love. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone and you too have enjoyed these privileges? I wonder, have you a father tonight in the glory? And you recall him instructing you in the Word of God. I wonder, is there a mother in heaven tonight? And you recall her tears as she pleaded with God to save your soul. Could it be tonight that you're here and you're still unsaved and you're still undone and you're still unprepared for the great eternity in spite of the instruction that you have received through the Word? As I look back, I thank God for the instruction through the Word, but something else. There was not only the privilege of instruction through the Word, there was the privilege of salvation by the blood. My dear friends, that's the only way that you and I can be saved tonight, through faith in His blood. And so it was through home life and church life that God spoke to me definitely, personally, specifically. One evening, when I was just a little boy of 9 years of age, I come home from church, and I was desperately troubled. And my father took out the Word of God, and at my father's knee, I came to faith in Jesus Christ. We lived in number 8 Refreyland Street. My dad was the local barber in the town. It's where the DUP offices are now. Sometimes when I'm walking down Refreyland Street with Catherine or with some of the grandchildren, I'll say, that's where it happened. That's the lounge where it took place. That's where I cast my first anchor. That's where I was gloriously saved. I could take you to the spot where, as a little boy of 9 years of age at my dad's knee, I prayed a very simple childlike prayer. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I was just a child, but with childlike faith, I came to Christ. Indeed, is that not how we must all come? The Savior said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in to the kingdom of heaven. I wonder tonight, have you come in childlike faith to Christ? Maybe you're here tonight, you're 9 years of age, you're 19 years of age, you're 90 years of age. Whatever age you are tonight, Christ is the answer to your every need. That night, as a little boy of 9 years of age, the burden of sin was lifted. You say, well, what does a little boy of 9 years of age do when he gets saved? Well, I attended church. I went to Sunday school. I attended the children's meetings. And for a period of time, I went on with the Lord. But you know, my dear friends, Satan was on my track. And after a period of time, I began to lose my edge for God, and I began to lose my love for Christ. You know, God's people can backslide. God speaks through Jeremiah, and He says, turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you. I wonder tonight, have you lost your edge for God? I wonder, have you left your first love for Christ? I certainly did. This was a time in my life when I changed school and changed company. These were days when football played an important part in my life. And if I wasn't playing football, I was watching football. And you're saying to me tonight, well, Dennis, no harm in that. No harm in that, except the company was godless and the language was atrocious. I wonder tonight, are you going to places where the Savior's name is being dishonored? And the Savior's blood is being trampled underfoot. And the Savior's finished work is being despised. You remember what the psalmist said. He said, I'm a companion of all them that fear thy name. Young people tonight, watch your company. They will either make you or break you. Wrong company often leads to wrong conduct. And this guy who had a godly background and a gospel church was sinning against the Lord. I was like many teenagers. I thought that I knew better than my parents. I was a real rebel. By now I was frequenting places and indulging in practices that I'll not go into this evening, but the world's philosophy was mine. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Isn't that what the prodigal thought? He wanted to be free. He wanted to do his own thing. No restrictions. Let the good times roll. I wonder, is that what you think tonight? If you do, you've swallowed the devil's first lie. That's what I did. This was weekend living. These were days of rebelliousness against authority, against the Lord, against my parents. And yet in those days of rebelliousness, there's a memory that's etched in my mind. I remember coming in on a Saturday night. And before I made my way up the stairs, I could look into the lounge, and through the glass door I could see the shadowy figure of a man on his knees, and he's crying to God for his wayward son. And thank God, God heard his cry, and God saw his tears. Mothers tonight, fathers, have you a wayward son, a wayward daughter? Have you a family tonight that's not saved? Have you someone tonight in the far country? Have you someone tonight who's backslidden? Well, every time you look at this preacher, remember God, your God, is a God who hears and answers prayer. Teenager tonight, I wonder, are you just like me? Wonder, are you breaking your mother and father's heart? Do you know tonight a father who's praying for you? A mother who's weeping for you? You see, if you're a backslider tonight, you're in the worst possible position, for the Bible says the way of the transgressors is hard. And my dear friends, my personal sin was beginning to weigh heavy upon me. I was discovering that sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. I was still attending church. I was expected to go to church every Sunday night, and I remember that this Sunday night was no different from any other, and as usual, I was expected to go to the gospel service, and I remember making my way up Newry Street and going in to the little Baptist church, and you could almost stand in the pulpit and shake hands with the folks in the gallery, and I sat at the back of the gallery. I sat as far away from the preacher as I could, and I would twist and I would chatter, and I would seek to disrupt the meeting. But this Sunday night was different. For as the pastor preached the word of God, and as he preached on the prodigal son, the Spirit of God took hold of me, and he began to talk to me personally, specifically, directly. You know, my dear friends, when God speaks, you listen. And that very night, in the place where I had initially trusted Christ at home, I got down on my knees, I confessed my sin, and God restored me to the joy of His salvation. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone just like me? Have you been brought up in a godly home? Have you professed faith in Jesus Christ? Are you here tonight and you're backslidden in heart? Well, God still loves you and He longs for you to return to Him. Will you return to Him this evening? Christ died that we might live through Him, that salvation. Here's the second reason why the Lord Jesus died. Christ died that we might live through Him, that salvation. Christ died that we might live for Him, that's service. Paul says, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Christ died my death for me, that I might live His life for Him. Christ died that I might live for Him. Wonder tonight, are you living for Christ? I mean, when you're walking with the Lord, you want to do something for Christ, do you not? I recall the first years. We used to stand on a Saturday night, every Saturday night in Newry Street, the main street in Banbridge. And we used to stand in the open air and trumpet out the gospel to those who were going to the dance hall across the street. We used to cross the border during the days when the troubles were at their height and go into the center of Dundalk. And those were great days, and Christ was precious, and the Bible was living, and souls were being reached. Then came my first opportunity to preach. A friend of mine took ill, and I had to stand in. And I preached in a little mission hall called Tommy Ryan's Mission Hall in Scarva. Used to walk down Scarva Domain on the 13th of July with the band. Ah, but now I was marching to a different tune. And soon invitations came to preach the gospel. And these were days when I really enjoyed the Lord and when I really enjoyed the Lord's Word. Someone took me along on a Tuesday night to Lurgan Baptist Church. And what a debt personally I owe to the late Pastor Willie Mullen. as I was instructed in the things of God. And soon a conviction was growing in my heart that days of secular employment might come to an end. I might say at this point in time, a Christian lady, a young lady came into my life, a Free Presbyterian, if you please. Someone said to me one day, a relative of Seth said to me, there's a staff nurse working in Banbridge Hospital. She's a Christian girl. She's a pre-Presbyterian. She would do you, you know. Well, I went up to the hospital and I had a look. And I liked. And eventually I loved. And we had been talking about Bible college. And this conviction for Bible college was growing. I felt my need of concentrated Bible study. But what about the call of God? A word from the Lord that would seal it all. One evening I was sitting at home and I was praying and I was reading and I was meditating and I was seeking the Lord's face for my future. And the Lord spoke to me clearly and personally and specifically through one verse. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to leave my work, and I'm willing to go into training, and I'm willing to trust you for my future. And the devil whispered in my ear, what if it means leaving your family, your country, your security? Well, I thought about that, but I was determined to take the next step. And so in 1972, I entered the Baptist College in Belfast. I remember the first day well, for the first night I was leaving. I said to one of the students, how often do you get out of this place? How many nights do you get out of this place? And he said, none. And I looked at him and I said, none. And he said, none. It was worse than Alcatraz. The guys in McGabry had more freedom. In fact, I was so distressed that evening that Catherine came round. She was working in the city hospital, and she took me to a servant of God, and he set me down, and sometimes you need someone just to talk a wee bit of sense into you. And he said to me, Dennis, who called you to this? Maybe you're an elder tonight, and you're discouraged about the work, and you're thinking of writing your resignation. Who called you to this? Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and you're weighed down by the burden of the class and you're thinking of quitting. Who called you to this? Maybe you're out in the community and you're giving out gospel tracts and you're knocking the doors and there's so little response and you feel like throwing it in. Who called you to this? Well, the Lord undertook for me in college. I decided that 1 year was enough to live in the premises in Sandown Road, and the only way I could get out was to get married. And so in 1973, I took the plunge. And Catherine and I got married in the old Free Presbyterian Church on the Waveney Road in Ballymena. And the Reverend William McCrae married us, and the glue is still holding fast. You know, when we got married, we hardly knew where we were going to live. Catherine's folks had bought another farm outside Randallstown, and we moved in there, and every day I traveled from Randallstown to Belfast, and these were days when we proved the Lord. We proved the Lord financially. We proved the Lord spiritually. We proved the Lord intellectually. You say to me tonight, well, did Bible college help you? You know what it taught me, dear friends? The first thing it taught me was this: how little I know. How little I know of the Word of God. The second thing it taught me was this: the discipline of study. There's no substitute for hard work. A young man spoke to the gifted Bible teacher, Donald Gray Barnhouse, on one occasion, and he said, Dr. Barnhouse, I'd give the world to be able to teach the Bible just like you. And looking at him straight in the face, he said, good, because that's exactly what it will cost you. My dear friends, listen, there's no substitute for hard work. And your pastor is a hard worker. And the God who called me was now enabling me. He was now preparing me. He was now directing me. And the first years led to the further years.
You know, Paul asks a question in 1 Corinthians 4 that I often ask in myself in prayer. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? All that I am, all that I have, all that I will ever be is from the Lord. In 1975, I just finished the Baptist College when I received a call to carry the Baptist Church. In 1987, I responded to the church at the Iron Hall in East Belfast. And in 1998, I did full circle and come back to Lurgan Baptist Church, where I was there for almost 20 years. You know, pastoral work, I believe, is the most difficult of all Christian service. But I can say with Paul tonight, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. What blessings the Lord has showered upon me. No greater joy than serving the Lord Jesus and seeing others come to faith in Christ. My friends, tonight, the Christian life, it's the hardest life, it's the happiest life, it's the holiest life, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. I think of the first years. I think of the further years. I think of the final years. You know, some of us are not as young as we used to be, but you can have still some snow on the roof and the fire and the furnace to the glory of God. My Christian friend tonight, don't give up the battle. Don't retire until God retires you or promotes you to glory. You remember Caleb at 85 years of age, he says, give me this mountain. Older folk tonight, is this your watchword? As you near old age, have you lost the spirit of adventure? Are you hesitant to take another step for God? I don't know about you tonight, but I want to finish well. I wonder, do you want to hear the well done, good and faithful servant? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Christ died that we might live through him, that salvation. Christ died that we might live for him, that service. Let me give you another reason. Christ died that we might live with him, that satisfaction. Paul says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. At Calvary, he died that I might live through him. At Calvary, he died that I might live for him. At Calvary, he died that I might live with him. Is that not what he promised his disciples before he went out to the cross? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a comfort for the saint. For those of us who are saved, that one day will step into the Father's house. What a happy ending. I heard about a little boy. It was coming up to his sixth birthday, and his mother said to him, Jonathan, what do you want for your sixth birthday? And he said, I want a puppy. So she took him down to the local pound, and he had never seen as many dogs and puppies in all of his life, and he didn't know which one to pick. And finally, he picked up one of the shaggiest pups in the lot there, and that little dog was standing, wagging its tail furiously. And they got the little puppy home. And his mother said to him, when he got the little puppy into the house, into the lounge, she said, Jonathan, why that puppy? He said, I wanted the one with a happy ending. My dear friends, listen, you talk about a happy ending. We're going to see his face. John says, we shall see him as he is, face to face, with Christ my Savior, face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who dies for me? You know, my dear friends, when my train rounds into Grand Central Station in glory, I think my dad will be there. How much I owe him, how he prayed for me when I was in the far country. And he'll say to me, how did you get on? And I think I'll say, well, pretty well, but I owe a lot to you. And together we'll gaze upon the face of our beloved Savior throughout the unending cycles of God's eternity. And friends will be there I have loved long ago. And joy like a river around me will flow. And yet just a smile from the Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. What a comfort for the saint. What a challenge for the sinner. Think of this tonight. In 100 years,
every soul in this building will be in eternity. The question is where?
Where will you spend eternity? Can I remind you tonight there is an eternity? Paul says the things which are seen, the things which I see with my visual eye, they're temporal. The things which are not seen, God, Christ, heaven, hell, are eternal. Billy Sunday said, I stand on the shores of time and cry out, eternity, eternity, how long art thou? When 10,000 times, 10,000 years have passed, eternity will have just begun. There is an eternity. You must spend eternity somewhere. You have a soul tonight that's precious, that's imperishable. Dear unsaved friend, tonight, what are you doing with your immortal soul? Are you preparing it to meet the Lord? There is an eternity. You must spend eternity somewhere. You'll spend eternity in one of two places, in heaven with Christ or hell without Christ. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. It will either be the caverns of the damned or the glories of heaven. Where you spend eternity will be determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. Think of what Christ did for you.
One day he stepped out of the glory. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. He came to save you. He died to save you. He shed his blood to save you. He rose to save you. He lives to save you. He's here to save you. Will you come to him?
Little girl come home from Sunday school one day, and as it was her usual custom, she jumped onto her daddy's knee, and she told him the story that she heard in Sunday school. This time it was the story of the cross. And she told him of the scourging and the spitting and the crown of thorns. She looked into his face and she said, Daddy, don't you love the Lord Jesus for that? And then she told of the journey to Calvary. And at last, when they got Christ to Golgotha, they drove those nails into his hands and his feet. And the little girl with tears in her eyes said, Daddy, don't you love him for that? And then she went on to tell how that the Lord Jesus cried, Father, forgive them. It was a moving story. And this time the wee girl, she was speaking and the tears were coursing down his face. And she said, Daddy, don't you love him for that? And then the darkness of the cross and the precious blood flowing from his side. And then when she couldn't go on any further, she flung her arms around her daddy's neck and she said, Daddy, don't you love the Lord Jesus for that? What all the arguments in the world could never do, that little girl's story of the cross moved that hard-hearted sinner. And at his kitchen table, he wept his way to Calvary. In the light of the cross, won't you trust him for that? Charlotte Elliott was moved one evening when she heard a preacher, Swiss preacher by the name of Caesar Millan. She was playing the piano. She was such a gifted pianist. Caesar Millan whispered into her ear. He said, Charlotte, if only your talents were given to the Lord. And then he said something that stung her. He said, Charlotte, you're as guilty a sinner as the prostitutes on the streets of London. Why, she was livid. She went home that evening. And she couldn't get that thought out of her mind. And in the early hours of the morning, she knelt at her bedside. She came to the Lord just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
you come. He died that we might live through him. He died that we might live for him. He died that we might live with him. Will you come to Calvary tonight? Will you bow at the cross? Will you say, Christ, for me? Let's pray. Let's just take a moment or two in the Lord's presence. Meeting's over. But maybe you've stepped into the service tonight and we're so glad to see you. But you're still not saved. You're still not right with God. You're on the broad road tonight that leads to hell. My friend tonight, you can change direction. And you can leave this service tonight on the narrow road that leads to heaven. Will you come to Calvary? Will you come to the cross? Will you come now? If we can be of help to you tonight, we'd love to speak to you. Philip and the elders are here, I'm here. We'd only be too happy to speak to you tonight about the things of the Lord. But oh, we would urge you, get right with God. Do it now. Get right with God. He tells you how. Oh, come to Christ, who shed his blood, and at the cross, get right with God. Father, we want to thank thee at the end of this service for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the one who loved us, gave himself for us, the one who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We bless thee for him tonight. And our Father, it would be the burden of our hearts and the burden of the people here and the burden of thy great heart that someone would come to Calvary this evening. Grant enabling grace, drawing power. O God, through thy word, by thy Spirit, draw someone to the cross this evening. Take us now to our homes in safety. Part us in thy fear and with thy favor. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.